You mentioned Mickey Booth and Terry Hobson.
Yes.
And I guess they played more or less throughout the period
you
were reporting across the years. And two of the greatest halfbacks, perhaps, never to play for England?
Yes. I mean, Mickey Booth had trials for England, and he was not a quick... there was a very good fly half called Gary Mace around at that time, and they were rivals for the position. But and Gary was a big player. He looked like a centre rather than a scrum half. But Mickey Booth was a great tactician, and he was wonderful at feeding the ball to Terry Hobson, or working out deceptive schemes with Peter Ford, so that the whole of the other side got offside at set scrums. I mean, I think they invented this technique of Mickey pretending to pass the ball, and all the other forwards coming on and getting offside, and then finding miraculously the ball and the whistle going at the same time. Did I explain that all right?
I think so.
Yeah.
But Terry Hobson, he had everything, didn't he, really? He had the break, he had the kicking.
Yeah.
He had the complete game for an outside half. Why did he never play for England, do you think?
I think probably it was difficult for Gloucester players to be recognised. It happened with cricket sides as well. If you weren't in a sort of fashionable club, you didn't get watched so much by these the selectors. And I think it's a great shame that... the two of them didn't play for England, because there would have been a devastating combo against most of the sides. And I think Mickey played very well. I remember Averill Malan's Springboks, and I think Mickey had a very good game against them. I mean, they were a massive and very competitive pack, the South Africans. But Mickey came out with credit, I think. Probably the ball didn't get out as far as Terry Hobson too much in that game, but I don't know whether he was actually playing. But I think that Terry Hobson was fast. He could vary his pace very deceptively, and he got a wonderful break, and he also had this fantastic kick. Because in those days, Mickey and he could work the line, you know, with a pack going up and down the line. And Terry's very, very accurate screw kicking for touch. And he was wonderful at that. And he got good hands too. He very rarely fumbled the ball. I think, and I understand this having played inadequately at fly half, that he didn't actually like getting tackled by wing forwards very much. So maybe that was a fault. He's a bit unlike, say, Johnny
Wilkinson
yeah,
who plays more like a forward, really, these days. And Terry would never do that.
Yes.
Terry was always par excellence a fly half, a very good fly half, too.
Yeah, I suppose that was the weakness, wasn't it, really? That he wasn't the greatest tackler in the world?
No. I think but he would acknowledge that.
Mm.
And I think that he saw himself as somebody who, if he kept his knees clean, it meant that he was actually on his feet and able to do something with the ball rather than getting into a loose maul. Mm-hmm. Way quite a lot of fly halves do today, I think. Or am I exaggerating?
I think not.
Yeah.
What other backs made a particular impression on you?
Well, Don Rutherford came for a few seasons. He was very, very good. I think he'd played for England by the time he reached Gloucester. Mm-hmm. He was a very good fitness man who actually sharpened up the training programme in Gloucester. And he was also, he got a wonderful, he could turn on a sixpence, as Gulbenkian, who had a taxi to drive around London, said, they told me it'll turn on a sixpence, whatever that is. Anyway, so whatever it was, Rutherford could turn on a sixpence and deliver a terrific kick, you know, clearing if he was under pressure. Yeah. Very good player.
Rutherford was the man with the clean shirt at the end of the game, wasn't he?
Yes, yes, a bit like Terry, but not for the same reason.
No,
probably.
No. Yeah.
And, well, obviously, Peter Ford, wonderful player, who was a great charge-down specialist. In fact, regular sort of picture in the national press during the winter was of Fordy, two hands up, like vast hands up like this, because, I mean, quite often did charge down crucial kicks.
Yes.
And it was not lucky, it was just gutsy. Mm-hmm. and good.
I remember the first time he was selected for England, the Daily Mail had a picture of him, and it was Ford behind these great hands.
Yes.
A marvellous picture.
That's the one I remember.
Yes.
I think they used to bring that picture out.
Yeah,
lovely. Yeah. Yeah. He was a wonderful wing forward. And so was Dick Smith, his opposite number. And I can never remember who played with open side and who played blind side.
I think it was Dick who played open side, because Dick also played centre on occasion.
Yeah, he was very,
very
good
quick. Very
yeah.
quick.
Yeah, they tried to get him to play there, but I think he much preferred to be a forward.
Well, yeah. I guess John Baylis was playing in the centre.
Yes.
At that time,
wasn't he? Yeah, battering around Baylis.
Certainly made an impression on plenty of people.
Yeah, but I think he's... it's funny, you know, I was in Tewkesbury a few months ago, and I met one of the centres who played with John Baylis, and he was called Ron Pitt. Ron
yes.
Pitt. And Ron Pitt had the most prodigiously big sidestep I have ever seen. I mean, he could sidestep the width of this table, which is about 4 foot across, and he wasn't the one that would go battering through. It was always John Baylis who would get the ball under his arm and just charge straight. I mean, he got badly tackled by big people occasionally, but he quite often got through too. But he didn't believe in the subtler arts of evasion of John Baylis. Good player.
So who were the wings outside those days?
I don't remember wings very much. I think probably the ball didn't get out of the wings very often.
Bob Smith.
Maybe I'm being unfair.
Bob Smith was on the wing, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Bob Smith.
I'm trying to remember the other myself.
There was a chap I met, I'll think of his name. He was a winger, and I met him only a few years ago, and he was actually making the most delicate blown glass figurines, and it didn't seem at all appropriate for a Gloucester rugby player to be earning a living doing this. And I said to him, I remember you were very fast, terrific runner. He said, it was pure terror, Mike, pure terror.